Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Joyce Barry and Friends, the number one worldwide radio show. The show's outrageous and it's contagious. It will lift your spirits high, you'll feel that you can fly. Transform your attitude, fill it with gratitude. Cut loose and improvise, it's coaching time today. Joyce is a great coach with an extraordinary approach. Fast on the upbeat, top of the heap. A wild motivator, great stimulator. Unstoppable in a humoristic way. Life lessons with passion, joyfully today. You want Joyce as your coach if you want this to be your best year ever.
Coach Joyce here. I want this to be your best year ever. I want this to be my best year ever. I want this to be the best year ever for Chap Oscar, his friends and family. And we want this to be the best year ever for all our friends and family and loyal listeners worldwide. And that means you.
Welcome to Joyce Barry and Friends. We are broadcasting live across America and around the world. This is the Hour to Empower, with stimulating talk, views you can use, memorable quotes, and powerful life lessons. We always have hot guests and cool topics. We even have cool guests and hot topics. You always want to tune us on, tune in, and tune up with us to hear the best of the best. You do not want to miss any of our shows. Each show goes into our archives. Log into Joyce Barry and Friends.com, Barry, B-A-R-R-I-E, and you will see each guest and each topic on our homepage. You can play and download any of our shows, always informative, inspiring, and motivational. You want to share these special shows with your friends, family, and contacts. You can follow us on Facebook and become a Joyce Barry subscriber and even a fan by going to our Joyce Barry and Friends fan page. Be sure to check like. You can follow us on Twitter. You can follow us by going to our Blog Talk Radio homepage and clicking follow right below my picture. You can also message me in any of these venues about our show, about our guests, about anything. My official website is joycebarry.com, Barry, B-A-R-R-I-E. The chat room is open. Log into the chat room, have fun, and chat away. I go back and forth into the chat room during the show to see what is going on in there. Motivation, inspiration, and an education. Positive, happy thoughts to improve your life, health, and finances. Take positive actions to create a gratifying lifestyle. Life lessons from me, your host, Joyce Barry, straight from the Coach's Corner. And then you will hear from our wonderful guest today. Folks, every day should be treated like a special day. We wish you the finest of friends, the opulence of opportunities, the magic of miracles, and the happiest of days. May this year be your best year ever.
Your best year ever. Oscar, we are awaiting you in the chat room. This is Joyce Barry and Friends to honor Dr. King, but right now we're having all kinds of technical difficulties. I have no idea our guest is having difficulty getting in our studio. So while that's happening, let's play some attitude adjuster, because we all have to get on the right page.
Watch out, world. Here I come. This is Dr. Stan, Breakthrough Harris. And here is a declaration you need to read every day. Wow. What a great day to be alive. I feel dynamite. I like me. I accept me. I love me. I'm going to have a super fantastic day today because I'm too blessed to be depressed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too glad to be sad. I'm too anointed to be disappointed, and I'm too elated to be agitated. Circumstances are aligning themselves in my favor. I'm healthy, physically fit, and intellectually equipped. I have wisdom far beyond my years. I am an extraordinary person with incredible abilities that I will use to add value to others' lives. Because I know that as I help others reach their dreams, I will automatically reach my own. I anticipate meeting the person or group of people today who are willing to use their power, their wealth, and influence to help me achieve my dreams. All day long, people will go out of their way to bless me. Today, I will add great value to someone's life. I will show compassion to those in need. I will give strength to the weak and inspiration to the weary. Someone needs what I have to offer, and I gladly make myself available. I embrace abundance, and it embraces me. I am abundant in every good way. I am an abundance magnet. I like money, and it likes me. It is attracted to me because it comes abundantly from many sources. I use my money wisely because it's a tool to help those in need. It's also a way of keeping score, showing how many people's lives that I add value to. I am experiencing great victories, supernatural turnarounds, and miraculous breakthroughs in the midst of great impossibilities. I am an overcomer. If my mountain can't be removed, I will develop and practice my mountain climbing skills. I may experience a setback. Setbacks are only setups for comebacks. Setbacks pave the way for comebacks. I will make lemonade out of life's lemons. And if life knocks me down, I'll fall on my back, realizing that as long as I can look up, I can get up. I commit to paying for my dreams with preparation and perspiration so that I won't have to live with my nightmares of regret. I do not procrastinate because procrastination leads to devastation. It is the assassination of my destination. Thus, I will act now. I am a doer. I get results at last. I now release the champion that is inside of me. I am the leader that multitudes of people are looking for. I choose to succeed today and every day hereafter. Watch out, world. Here I come.
And folks, here we come. We've been having extraordinary technical difficulties this morning, but I say all's well that ends well. Welcome to the show, Chap Oscar. You finally had it work out with the technical difficulties on your end.
Yes, hello. Thank you so much, Joyce. You know, anytime you go on the air with something as relevant as we're going to be discussing today, which is Reverend Martin Luther King Jr.'s 87th anniversary of his birth and the 50th anniversary of his demise in Memphis, Tennessee.
87, he would have been 87, wow.
Yes,
and
yes.
So today, folks, we're going to remember and honor the awesome Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. on this day, as Chap Oscar said, the 50th anniversary of his assassination. And leading the way is Chap Oscar, who remembers well Dr. King and joins us in this special tribute to the extraordinary man and his message. Chap Oscar, you remember him personally. The man was beyond amazing, and the difference he made in the world, and I sure wish he was still around to keep making those differences. We sure still have a long way to go, unfortunately.
Well, you know, Dr. Martin Luther King was a personal friend of my pastor. You know, my upbringing in Amityville, Long Island, New York, at Hollywood Baptist Church, and they were childhood friends, Reverend Andy C. Luter Sr., and Reverend Luter, he's still around. He is still around, and we're still in contact with each other quite often. He remains in Amityville, but they were childhood friends, and a lot of people ask me, why didn't I get in the middle of all of that with all the other stuff, and why a lot of things that I will share today they've never heard is because, you know, when you kind of grow up with good mentors in your life, you don't run and tell everything you know.
You don't kiss and tell. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, you know, it's the same thing with Muhammad Ali, same thing with Nelson Mandela. You know, I had the opportunity, because of humility and a lot of other little things along the way, serving people, I didn't violate confidences. And so I had a situation to have kind of like a way of being introduced to people even at a young age. And, you know, Martin Luther King, he was a very prolific man, and he got involved with organizing the civil rights movement. But he was, and this is one thing we share in common, he was an ordained Baptist minister, just like I am ordained and licensed and laying on of hands Baptist minister myself. So we share a lot of affinities, and know right from the outset, I am no Martin Luther King, but what we do share is a kingdom focus that we get when we get the mandate of being in the ministry as a pastor.
Chap Bosco, you may not be a Martin Luther King, but you certainly are a king. That you are. To me, you will always be a king. I have the utmost respect for you. I'm very privileged and humbled to have you be the one to share this show today to make that special tribute. I consider you a man of all faiths, and you make a difference for everyone, regardless of their faith.
Well, thank you so much, Joyce. You know, one of the fastest ways to lose friends is to go all the way with God. And, you know, Dr. Martin Luther King, he was going all the way with God. And as we look at this 50-year anniversary, he would be right back on focus to his Christian convictions, his writings, speeches, and everything about spirituality, political reform, and all the things that he came into prior to getting involved with the Montgomery bus boycott and the March on Washington. There were a lot of things with the passage of the Civil Rights Act. He was an awakened man and came into a level of discernment at a tender age. He was 39 years old when he passed away, Joyce.
Wow. That is real. Well, they say only the good die young. They do say that. But he was the ultimate activist, and his message of nonviolence really strikes a chord. Whenever I see any documentaries on the history of civil rights and the nonviolence as they're brutally beaten with clubs and dogs going after them, I don't know how he was able to do that. I can't even watch anything on Dr. King or on civil rights without crying profusely. What's so sad, besides that it really did happen then, I still don't feel we're out of the woods now.
Well, we're really not, Joyce, and humility is a mark of a soul who is totally dependent on Jesus Christ. And so when you saw him with all of the things, and, you know, I was a tender young man at the time, but seeing, and I, you know, my mom and my dad are both from Alabama, Bessemer, Birmingham, Alabama. So, of course, you know, I have relatives that live in Montgomery now. And, you know, it was a painful thing to watch. But, you know, when you really look at the mark of a soul given the total humility, you get to understand the struggle that he was involved with.
The struggle, as I said, continues today. I always said my two favorite causes, civil rights and protesting against anti-Semitism, I see them closely linked because we've been through so much in our history, and yet, as I said, unbelievably so, it still prevails today. Who would have thought that after what all the people went through in both situations, Jewish people,
yeah,
black people, that we're still fighting. Israel's still fighting for its very existence. And there's just so much madness in the world that unarmed black youth are still getting shot down with 21 shots, the last one holding a cell phone. It's kind of like shoot and ask questions later. So I have a tremendous heavy heart for both cases with the anti-Semitism. Two elderly women last week. One was in her 80s. She was knifed multiple times and then set on fire, an elderly Jewish woman living alone. The second one in her 60s was brutally beaten up and then thrown out of a high-rise window. So it's just beyond any kind of comprehension that people could be so cruel when we're all human beings.
Well, Joyce, you know, the Jewish plight and the plight of the black community and, anyone is going to face challenges when you stand and you raise your hand and pledge your allegiance to God Almighty. And so we see that in Matthew 19:29, which I won't try to read to you, but we face a course going forward. And when we claim our allegiance to God and to his Christ, Lord Jesus Christ, then we are going to be tested. And the deeper walk, Joyce, the deeper the walk, the more intense the furnace of testing. And so even with the young man in Sacramento and all these other issues, speak to MLK 50 and, Dr. Martin Luther King had plenty to say about the church, and in his letter from the Birmingham jail, he particularly challenged the white moderate church to take a firmer stand against racial injustice. We cannot look at racial injustice and all types of injustices with age, all kinds of injustice going on. It's got to be a family affair. And if I see something like what happened with these police shootings and everything else, I mean, you know, I can see where what my friend and, you know, I introduced him on the last show, Chief James Hambrick. He's a police chief here in Mount Juliet, Tennessee. You know, he believes in community policing. So he has a police department, close to 57, 60 police officers, and he actually, you know, with him being a man of color, you know, he actually has an opportunity to share in their lives, and he has this coffee with a cop, which affords the community an opportunity to meet with law enforcement. This model that he has needs to move around nationally, and it needs to move around internationally. Otherwise, you are going to have this type of polarization. And so that, to me, is part of the visionary leadership that Dr. Martin Luther King would be espousing at this hour.
It's just so sad, so frustrating, so upsetting that the country is as divisive as ever. It's that bad right now. And what's scarier is that it seems to be getting worse every day in one way or another, mostly because of the leadership we have in our country, sadly. Instead of being role models, they're espousing all kinds of really bad things that's making an America a worse place and taking us back hundreds of years. All the things we fought for and people died for, they're bringing back. And instead, and they say drain the swamp. Well, they're putting people from the swamp back into play. All kinds of studies have been made that in the last year, how so much has gotten so much worse.
Well, you know, Joyce, from a chaplaincy, from a pastoral perspective, these tests will continue until Jesus returns. We have to stay on our knees asking that Christ be formed in us. And Martin Luther King Jr. was a real follower of God. You know, he hung out with Gandhi. He hung out with a lot. You know, he took on a lot of different mindsets. But his allegiance, allegiance was a relationship between the church and the state. And he called on the church to pursue revival. We, as a church, we've gone to sleep. We've gotten involved with prosperity. We've gotten so far into civil rights, gotten involved with so many other influences that we've gotten off message. And, you know, the Word of God tells us that we have to desire to be men and women of God. And so if we're not men and women of God pursuing that as a mandate, then we're going to be overcome with this enemy roaming these streets. We got to come back into being God's children. And as a child of God, a kingdom citizenship, we're going to be able to make a positive impact. But the church today looks so much like the world, you really can't tell the difference. And so kingdom kids are, you know, God's children right now. Our war right now is with the church house. If you get the church house right, get away from all of these talking heads, and, you know, we got a few characters that show up with anything to deal with, you know, minorities or, you know, blacks and African Americans. You know, these characters will show up, but they will not show up with a Bible. They will not show up with God's playbook. And so you can't tell them from the world. And so it's a lack of leadership that we're dealing with in this nation right now. And we can't oppose anything going on unless we take a stand and have a discussion with social institution the way God has ordained it to be laid out. God has a plan. The church was a very powerful organization that has been diminished because of greed, pride, and all the other things that have set in.
I'm sure you're very aware of events that are taking place everywhere to commemorate the 50th anniversary of the assassination, which took place in front of the Lorraine Motel, where Reverend King fell mortally wounded. In Memphis, there are masses of people really honoring him, saluting him. What do you? Is there anything going on in your backyard, Chap Oscar?
Yeah, I'm sure. You know, I'm 3 hours away from Memphis. We're in Nashville, Tennessee, and I'm sure most of my colleagues are in Memphis at this hour. You know, with One Big One FM, we're doing our thing on this end. We know that this is an important hour, and the people that are gathered there, the leadership, I would hope you'll see Bibles in the crowd, but I would venture to guess most of the talking heads that, and I've been watching them, most of them are not espousing anything that Martin Luther King legitimately was about the Word of God. He really wasn't a guy that would just look to be a rabble rouser. You know, when you look at some of his quotes and you look at some of his vital topics, he wanted to conquer segregation, not to profit from it. And the philosophy of Christianity is strongly opposed to these talking heads, and, you know, you're going to get people sensitized to riot and to do other things, and it's not a social club this hour. You know, we have to conquer and be very decisive about promoting our needs, and that's what it's going to take at this hour. God has given us some rich examples, and we can look at Moses, we go through that whole Bible and see an attitude of being totally dependent on what thus says God, what the Word of God espouses. That's where the secret is. The secret source is the Word of God and our Bible, Joyce.
I just want to say that not only in Memphis, but much of the U.S. will come to a halt today to mark the 50th anniversary of Dr. King's assassination. Memphis, where Dr. King was shot on April 1968, will be the epicenter as all across the U.S. commemorations are scheduled to honor the memory of this country's most influential and celebrated civil rights leader. The National Civil Rights Museum, which was built within the Lorraine Motel where King died, is planning to host an all-day gathering with performances, speeches, and an evening of storytelling. I actually know people who are participating there today. The activist Jesse Jackson, who was with King on the evening he was killed, is scheduled to be in attendance, as is the Atlanta congressman John Lewis, who spoke at King's 1963 March on Washington when the civil rights leader gives his I have a dream speech. So I think that is extraordinary. At 6:01 p.m. tonight, the time King was shot, the museum will ring a bell 39 times in recognition of King's age when he was killed. In King's hometown of Atlanta, the center founded by his widow, Coretta Scott King, immediately after his death also marks its 50th anniversary today. Its director, King's daughter, Dr. Bernice King, said the King Center April programming was designed to introduce the world to the radical Dr. King Jr. and to learn about the vital role of the founder, Mrs. Coretta Scott King, the role she played as the architect of King's legacy. You know, when I think of him, at the same time, I can't help but thinking about Rosa Parks, who is my hero, because I just see her as the little lady with the big dream, and how she was at the forefront of the whole boycotting the buses and people walking for miles to get to work and walking for miles to get to school. The little lady with the big dream, which is such a lesson for all of us to go after your dream and no matter what. And that civil rights whole thing was a no matter what movement for sure.
Well, you said a lot, Joyce, and, you know, as it relates to Jesse Jackson, Don Lewis, and I don't want to glorify names, you know, that's that is a wonderful thing. That's been something that that you know the media, but I can tell you the celebration. We have to understand Martin Luther King Jr. wanted his dying to bring glory to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's it. If you're having these celebrations 50 years later and you're not making Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior the centerpiece of your celebration, you're missing one of the vital ministerial focuses of Dr. Martin Luther King. He said himself, and this is also in one of his sermons, he said, "It is our job as ministers to bring the church back to the center of the human race." The center of the human race is not focused on a talking head or a person, but we can only bring the church back to the center of the human race when we bring Christ back to the center of the church. So the center of civil rights has been co-opted by individuals. And I don't agree with being Mr. Black Man and Mr. Black Person and Mr. Black represent all the black people and all the people of color. I have too many friends from all over the world who are non-white. I mean, they're from different countries. They're not identified with land masses. And so we have so much going on in this country now. We have got to come back to the center of our humanity, and that center has to recognize Christ being the center of the church. And that's what it is. That's what Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., 50 years out, that's the contemporary church that he would be challenging today.
I just have to say something, folks, to you all. We have Chaplain Oscar here, and who's a man of faith, and he's saying what he's saying, and I'm not disputing it. I just feel what's not included in that is all the Jewish people who support civil rights. There was a rabbi on the front line in the march on Washington. He was right there along with Dr. King. So I have to say Jesus is not our savior. Jesus is not in the middle of our epic center. I never take on Chap Oscar, but I feel the way he's talking about Dr. King, he's making it inclusive to the Christian faith. So on behalf of Jewish people who really care about civil rights, and we pray to a different Lord, I just want to include you all as well.
Well, you know, all Jewish people are included, Joyce, because when we give our lives to Lord Jesus Christ, we are becoming born-again Jews. I mean, that's the story these talking heads will not tell you. Israel, the Israel of God and the Israel of Christ is the same Israel that we celebrate. So when I have too many Messianic Jewish friends that, we are all the center of our existence, the center of our relationship is the Christ of God. And so we're not going to get into any drama over that, but the diversity that we see today, America's most segregated hour is the church hour in this country. And there's a revolution going on because if you got vision that you're going to get involved, we're confusing people. You know, Martin Luther King, he was opposed to any type of relationship outside of the church. Everything was based on a strong, specific call as a child of God. And that's what it, that was his platform, the church. So if we will look and water down the church, then that allows, when that hedge is diminished and worn down, when you got all, yeah, a lot of people are doing things, but they're doing things for their own self-aggrandizement. You know, they're doing it for their own and pride. And part of discipline that Martin Luther King Jr. had to deal with, and that ultimately terminated his life as a at a very young age, was based on the spiritual convictions that he had as a child of God.
And Chap Oscar, again, not to diminish any of that, I have the utmost respect for every religion. I just felt the way you were talking about it, it was not including people of Jewish faith. As I said, Jesus is not our Savior. We don't pray to Jesus. So I'm just trying to make it more inclusive. It's not a show on religion here. We respectfully acknowledge his religion and the church.
Right.
I just wanted to say I felt you were saying it in a way that Jews were not a part of it. But, folks, we want to make you part of our show every day.
Let me just say this. Jewish, our Jewish brothers and sisters, we have been translated into born-again Jewish remnant. That's what we accept when we accept our Christianity. And so it's not a difference. There is probably going to be a different show. But right now, dealing with Dr. Martin Luther King, we have to look at the boldness. We have to look at the brokenness. We have to look at the faith that he stood on. And he made a choice. He took the pathway.
I get that. Please understand, I'm not diminishing that. I'm not taking away from that. My goodness, last week on Friday, we had the Archbishop, a senior priest from the Archbishop, Archdiocese of New York, with a senior rabbi from the New York Board of Rabbis, men of faith, interfaith, and we give our shows in a way that we really want to open up the portals for Christians to appreciate Judaism, for Jews to appreciate Christianity. But I'm just saying, I heard it like it was all about Jesus being the Savior for all of us who are a stand for Dr. King. All right, let's get past that. And what I started to say is that people of all faiths, all races, all religions can appreciate our show, because we want to appeal to all ages and all faiths. And here, in the words of Beverly Nadler, is why it is great for you to be listening each and every day.
Listen to me. I have something to say about a wonderful way to start your day, a way to stimulate your mind and increase your energy, make you feel so good. And guess what? It's free. Weekdays at 11 a.m. Eastern, hear the Joyce, Barry, and Friends show. You'll find it on the internet, on Blog Talk Radio. This show is upbeat and fun and very inspirational. It's informative, educational, and very motivational. There's the Coach's Corner, great quotes and news. There are suggestions, perspectives, and advice you can use to enhance your life and improve your health, plus clever, simple ways to increase your wealth. Joyce's perceptions and personality will keep you captivated, and her guests from many walks of life will always keep you fascinated. When Joyce and her friends speak, it's like you're in the conversation. This is part of what makes her show so unique, really a sensation. For Joyce's friends are not only the guests you're listening to, they're everyone who is tuning in. Yes, I do mean you. So refer your friends and family. They'll be so pleased to know. And let's make Joyce Barry and Friends the number one internet radio show.
And folks, we do ask you to partner up with us in having that happen. Please go to Joyce Barry, B-A-R-R-I-E, and friends.com. And right under my picture on the upper left, you will see the word follow. A simple click on the word follow, and you'll be apprised of all our shows, our guests, our topics. You need not miss any of our special shows. Always diversified and always appealing to people of all ages, all faiths. We don't have an ounce of discrimination here for anyone or anything. We're simply a stand for peace and love in the world. Let me just take a moment to share some of my favorite quotes of Dr. King. Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. Of course, the most popular one from the longer version is, I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character, from the very famous I Have a Dream speech. Faith is taking the first step even when you don't see the whole staircase. The ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in moments of comfort and convenience, but where he stands at times of challenge and controversy. Take the first step in faith. You don't have to see the whole staircase. Just take the first step. A nation that continues year after year to spend more money on military defense than on programs of social uplift is approaching spiritual doom. I have decided to stick with love. Hate is too great a burden to bear. I have to say, Chap Oscar, you are one of the most loving, caring people I know. I know you're a stand for love in great measure. And I always say that
definitely.
That Oscar certainly should win the Oscar. O-S-C-A-R, O is for outstanding, S is for speaker, C is for champion, A is for author, R is for regular on the Joyce Barry and Friends show. Oscar Smith, S is for safety specialist, and we've done shows on that, shows that could save your life. M is for man of faith, I is for inspiring, T is for talented, H is for hero, O is my hero. Chap Oscar, let's stick to Dr. King. And what else do you want to share about him? And how was he able to stay in nonviolence mode with everything going on around him?
Well, Joyce, just we're going to get back into Dr. King, but just to bring cohesion to what we're saying, because the foundation of the ministry of Dr. Martin Luther King is found in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. It says, he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And so we'll leave that there on the table and go back into how did Dr. Martin Luther King get pushed into a place of power. And we will find that when, and I know a lot of the people that I shared that I was going to be on this show with, Joyce, you know, a lot of the Joyce Barry and friends, some of them have people on their smartphone, but they don't even have to read this. I will read them because I do not want an emotional flip today. I want us to be very principled. I want us to come out with some positive outcome from our conversation today, because Dr. Martin Martin Luther King was divinely pushed into a place of power. And when we look at James, Bible, chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, it says, consider it a sheer gift when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. And Joyce, we talked about that with the jailing, the dogs, the fire. These challenges and tests that came at him from all sides, don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so you become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way. And that's what Dr. Martin Luther King, that would be the clarion call for his 50th anniversary. And that's James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4.
Duly noted. I just want to share some more quotes from Dr. King. An individual has not started living until he can rise above the narrow confines of his individualistic concerns to the broader concerns of all humanity. A genuine leader is not a searcher for consensus, but a molder of consensus. In the end, we will remember not the words of our enemies, the silence of our friends. And when you think about activism, my favorite quotes are from Edmund Burke. The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. And no one can make a greater mistake than he who did nothing because he could do only a little. And my version is the triumph of evil is for good men and women. And he or she who did nothing, I want to include women in that as well. And in those days, going way back when, most of the quotes were he. Nothing in the world is more dangerous than sincere ignorance and conscientious stupidity. He who passively accepts evil is as much involved in it as he who helps to perpetuate it. He who accepts evil without protesting against it is really cooperating with it. Our scientific power has outrun our spiritual power. We have guided missiles and misguided men. Every man must decide whether he will walk in the light of creative altruism or in the darkness of destructive selfishness. And finally, history will have to regard that the greatest tragedy, these are all from Dr. King, of this period of social transition was not the strident clamor of bad people, but the appalling silence of the good people. So I am very moved by Dr. King to this day and those awesome quotes. And when I think back in history, I'd say he's in the top two of people I would most like to meet and sit down with, JFK being my other hero. So, go ahead, Chap Oscar.
Oh, no, I was going to say I did have that opportunity to sit down with him on more than one occasion at Hollywood Bowl, my friends in New York, and shout out to Reverend Andy C. Luter, Sr. I had that opportunity, and I could tell you we are blessed. Anyone. Now, we don't want to get involved with drama, but anyone that gives their life to a greater provision, capacity, and influence in this world, it tells us in Matthew chapter 5, verse 10, we are blessed when our commitment to God provokes persecution. The persecution drives us even deeper into God's kingdom, and we cannot have a Martin Luther King 50th celebration conversation without God's kingdom being preeminently presented. And I'm just being careful because there has to be transformational power that comes out of this celebration this weekend. We have to understand and cannot look at strange trials confirming that these strange trials and these fiery trials, all the things going on with shooting, everything else, we have to be very mindful that this struggle is in no way over. And we have to depend on God. And, you know, like you said, Joyce, we don't want to get involved with language that's going to confuse, but we have to look at God Almighty is our trustworthy parent. And we have to come under the Godship of our Creator. It's these antagonizing forces that are talking heads. They're not using any playbook. And when we read our Bible, we read the Torah. We understand the Old Testament and the New Testament. I mean, so we're not just random people out here pledging allegiance. We are talking about the Christ of God. And so we're not going to get into that. But Martin Luther King, believe me, he was a very principled pastor way before he got into civil rights. You know, that was something that he, when you look at all his writing, he clearly, in his doctoral dissertations, he clearly delineated the role of the church, the role of church getting ready to face in this nation, and the moral failure and the moral dilemma of being here in America. Church was a issue that this servant of God held chief in his heart.
And as we're starting to wind down here, Oscar, what is the message you want to leave with our folks today that Dr. King inspired you to have in your heart?
Well, the church is not perfect, and I met him at Hollywood Baptist Church in Amityville, New York. I was a tender youth, and admittedly, even then, he knew the church was not perfect. He understood the church had to stand in the middle of social and scientific progress. He knew that there were going to be issues. He knew that there was a war outside these doors. He challenges all Christians to be a force for good. And too often we've been preoccupied over these last 50 years with talking heads that gets us into rituals and derision and takes us off the fact that we are part of God's kingdom, and the church is warring against themselves right now. We're doing more of warfare, creating more disunity by getting involved with all of these subgroups and all these subcamps. We have to come back and let the church be a center of influence. And it's going to take a certain kind of dying to self, losing pride. It's going to take a certain kind of humility. And we're going to have to come back to taking a stand, yes, against racial injustice, but there's some other injustice that we need to talk about. But it all stems from getting the church on a powerful platform again, and that's really what we need to be about as people, men and women of God at this hour.
And folks, I just want to share something. Every Bible in my house, I have several. Every single Bible has the Old Testament and the New Testament. So I am always interested in the message of Jesus. I respect it. I just don't pray to him, and he is not my savior. I even have a Buddhist book here as well. Again, I always say that what a world it would be if we can appreciate and acknowledge the differences we find in each other rather than judge people on those differences. So, folks, let me leave you with my special prayer. May yesterday be the last day, the very last day of your struggles, your suffering, your ill health, your misfortunes, your problems, your pain, your worries, your troubles, your trials and tribulations. May this be the first day. It is the first day of the rest of your life. May it be the beginning of the very best of your life, with extraordinary wishes granted and dreams coming true. Make this the most meaningful year of making more money, good health, good luck, good fortune, attracting special people and opportunities, creating magical memories, and manifesting marvelous miracles. Folks, go out and make someone happy today. Here we are. We're still in Passover week. We celebrated Easter as well. And even the first was April Fool's Day. And I say, you don't have to be, you're not a fool, an April fool or any month fool, if you have something bigger than yourself to believe in, to pray to, whatever that is for you. And we invite you to sing along with us, dance along with us, and laugh along with us. And you can do that right here, right now, to the Joyce Barry Mash. And folks, go out and do random acts of kindness, pay it forward, do things that make you proud, and do things that will serve other people. That is, after all, a great message to impart to you, your family, your friends and children. Let's all work together to have it be a better world for one and all. Here, folks, is our Joyce Barry Mash. Enjoy, sing along, dance along, and laugh along.
I was listening to Blog Talk Radio when my ears heard something that I did know. From the speakers of my laptop I heard a voice. It was the White Oprah, also known as Joyce.
He did the MASH.
The Joyce Barry MASH.
Joyce Barry MASH.
She is a coaching smash.
He did the MASH.
You'll catch on in a flash.
He did the MASH.
The Joyce Barry MASH. I felt so inspired by her show, and her poetry was just so good, you know. I want to listen to Joyce again and again. As Joyce would say, if not now, when?
He did the MASH.
The Joyce Barry MASH.
Joyce Barry MASH.
She is a coaching smash.
He did the MASH.
You'll catch on in a flash.
He did the MASH.
The Joyce Barry MASH.
Wow.
Joyce knows all about having fun.
Wow.
She's a home business wizard and she's just begun.
Wow.
She's
wow.
a coaching sensation for not just me or
wow.
you or her. It's for everyone.
Then you can MASH.
Do the Joyce Barry MASH.
Joyce Barry MASH.
She's a home business smash.
Then you can MASH.
You'll catch on in a flash.
Then you can MASH.
Do the Joyce Barry MASH.
Have a fantastic day and listen to Joyce Barry and Friends.